As we have gathered here together on the first day of the week to worship our Lord, let's make sure that the only thoughts that we have in our mind are that of worshiping Him in a right and acceptable way. We are thankful for the presence of each and every one of you here this morning. We have a lot of visitors. We are glad that you have come our way and hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us as we meet together here and as we strive to worship God and serve Him, not only collectively as we come together, but also individually each day of our life. We're thankful for your presence. We're thankful for the presence of others who are members here who have undergone some surgery but are recovering, and we're glad to see them back with us, Sister Hurst and Tim D. Hart and others, that we are glad to have you present with us this morning, and others that have been suffering some illnesses. It seems that time of year when the weather goes up and down that certain things begin to happen, and our bodies just don't react the way they used to, I guess. It's a sign that we're getting older. I want to talk to you this morning about what can one good person or one person do. I think probably as we have grown up as children and even now as adults, we have seen certain things that people have done, and through the accomplishments that they have achieved, we are moved to certain kind of emotions in our lives. I think all of us have had heroes as we were growing up. Perhaps even now we have heroes that we look up to. I can remember growing up as a child, and I loved to play baseball, and before I knew a little bit more about him, Mickey Mantle was my hero. As I have grown older, I have others that I look up to a great deal and try to imitate some of the things that are in their life. We all look at individuals and their accomplishments, and oftentimes we're moved by those things. We look at men in our history such as George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. We see the things that they accomplished in their life. We look at individuals of science such as Thomas Edison or perhaps Einstein, and we are in amazement at the things that they were able to accomplish and how that they were able to affect not only hundreds of those individuals round about them, but thousands and millions of people are influenced by them and by what they have done. And we're awed by them. Sometimes we might even be just a little bit jealous of the things that they have accomplished, but certainly we are thankful to them. And there are those individuals in our own lives that we know who, because of what they have done, have encouraged us to take action in our life. And perhaps if it hadn't have been for the example that they set before us, we might not have been able to do the things that we have done. But when we see the lives of others, we see the actions that they take, the things that they have accomplished, sometimes we begin to think of ourselves that, well, I can't do that. And we might begin to think of ourselves as being someone who's really incapable of doing those kind of things. We might begin to think of ourselves as maybe even being insufficient and as far as influencing others to do those things that others do. After all, we will say, I'm just one person. And what can one person do? What kind of an influence can one individual have? What kind of change can we bring about on those about us, and especially in the society in which we live? With all the millions upon millions of people in the world today, how can I and my influence be felt? And so as we look at the vast humanity about us, we begin to think, well, I'm just one person and I can't do anything. But we must rest assured that as Christians, we are having an influence on somebody. We are having an influence and effect on those that live about us. And it's either an influence for good or it is one for evil. We have to be sure or reassure ourselves of that. Some Christians also wonder if they're having any kind of good effect on anybody else. You know, we live according to the Word of God. We strive so much every day to influence others for good. But then when we look at their lives, there doesn't seem to be any kind of change in them at all. Our influence, it seems, has had no effect upon them. And as a result of that, we become so very discouraged, and we wonder perhaps why we're striving to do these kind of things. It is true that some people are not going to worry about their influence. They don't care how it affects other people. They're going to do exactly what they want to do, And if it influences others for good, then that's fine. If it doesn't, they really don't care. But we as Christians can't take that attitude. We have to worry or be concerned about how we affect others. We look and we see some people who also begin to play down their shortcomings as being something that is insignificant. They recognize that their life is not perfect, that there are certain habits that they do every day. And they pass these off as their shortcomings. And after all, everybody else does them. Everybody else does those things that are wrong. And I'm not affecting anybody by the life that I am living. But once again, we must realize that we are either hindering, as Christians, the cause of Christ, or we're helping the cause of Christ. In our society today, we wonder, what can one person do? What can one individual, what kind of an effect can that person have on those that live around about them? Well, we want to look at some biblical examples this morning and see the effect of perhaps just one person on those that lived that they lived about. Remembering that human nature has not changed from the very beginning. And that if these individuals that we read about in the Bible who are following the will of God, if they had a good influence, then we also can have a good influence. Because again, human nature has not changed. We can also see the evil influences of certain individuals. And if we decide that we're going to follow that course, then we're going to have an effect on people's lives. But first of all, let us look at the question, what can one good person do? What can one good person, that is an individual who's striving to be pleasing unto God, what can that person do in the society or in the area in which he lives or she lives? What kind of an influence can that person have on others? Let us look at a couple of examples that we find in both the Old and the New Testament. We go back to Genesis chapter 6 and we find a man by the name of Noah. And we look at the influence that Noah had on the world at that particular time. God in chapter 6 of Genesis describes the world at that time. It says that it was wicked, the wickedness was great there. And when God looked down from heaven and he saw man and saw the course of action that man was taking, wickedness was great. And that every thought was evil continuously in the mind of man. We might say that there's some parallels that can be drawn between the days of Noah and now. Because it seems with a lot of people, there is a great wickedness in our land, around the world. That it seems that everything is continuously evil in the society in which we live. That's what people like to think about and like to dwell upon. That's the kind of society, that's the kind of world that Noah lived in, that God saw. But when he looked at Noah, he found a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It repented God that he had made man. What God was going to do is he was going to destroy all of mankind, and he was going to start all over. But he found one man in his family, and they found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This one good man was able, we might say, to save the world. Oh, it's true that everybody else died but those 8 souls that were in the ark. But God had decided he was just going to wipe everybody out and he was going to start all over again. But he found one good man. And this one good man was able to save the world. And it's interesting to note that in the midst of this evil generation in which Noah and his family lived, that Noah was able to raise 3 sons who were faithful unto God and who were pleasing in the sight of God. And I want you to know that I think if you think about it just a little bit, this was a great task. This was a wonderful task that Noah and his wife were able to accomplish. To be able to raise 3 children in this kind of society that was faithful unto God, but not only they were faithful, but their wives also were pleasing in the sight of God. And these were the 8 souls that were saved. And you know, when we think about that, it was a great task on the part of Noah. This is something that is extremely hard for us to do today. Those of us who are parents and those of us who know how it is to raise children, strive to protect them, try to guide them in the way of righteousness, it's hard to do that in the society in which we live. Noah didn't have many of the advantages that you and I have. Noah was not able to meet on Sunday morning such as this with 120 or 130 people of like precious faith. He could not draw strength from them as you and I can. All he had was his family. And yet he was able to raise his family and his children to be pleasing in the sight of God. This is something that is extremely hard today. But this one good man was able to do that. And that's the kind of influence he had on the world in which he lived. We look also in the Old Testament to a man by the name of Joshua. We find here a man who took a stand when it counted. When he knew that his influence could be felt most among the children of Israel, he made that stand. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. We find the statement made by Joshua as he is speaking to the children of Israel. He says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." But he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Here was a determination, a dedication. Here was a commitment on the part of Joshua that he was going to take a stand for what was right. He was going to serve the Lord. As a result of that, we can see in that same chapter toward the end that the children of Israel were faithful unto the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of those elders who outlived Joshua. So not only for one, but for two generations, the influence of this one good man was felt. Children of Israel had come into the land of Canaan. They had taken the land. They had divided it. It was a time of peace after a long period of wandering in the wilderness, of fighting the Canaanites that were in the land. A time of peace and settling down. Joshua made this commitment. And as a result of the effect of this one good man, the nation of Israel for two generations was faithful unto God. In his statements and by his actions then, this great decision influenced that whole nation. We turn to the pages of the New Testament. We find a man by the name of John the Baptist. And he preached to the people and he said to the people what needed to be said. As he prepared the way for the Messiah, as he was one who was in the wilderness, his preaching was so powerful that people from everywhere came to him to hear him. And he prepared the people for the Messiah who was to come. And he did that. And look at the influence that this one good man had on those that would later on accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. This one good person was able to do his part. And he prepared the people for the Messiah. I suppose if we think of the influence of one good man, this next individual would come to mind first, and that is the Apostle Paul. Think of all the good that this individual did in his lifetime. After he was converted unto Jesus Christ, all of the journeys that he went on, place to place, and establishing the churches that he did, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in good times and in bad times, under hardships, people that would listen to him, people that would run him out of the city, he still taught the word of God. He converted many unto Jesus Christ. And we can even see that he is still now having an influence on lives in this generation. How many of you who are Christians have not been influenced by Paul? By what we read concerning him in the New Testament? Some 2,000 years later, as we read, we're influenced by this one good man, the dedication that he had to the cause of Christ. When we look at these individuals that we read about in the Bible, we say, well, I can't accomplish those things. I can't do the things that those individuals did. After all, God was with them. God was with Joshua. God was with John the Baptist. God was with Paul. And I can't accomplish those things. But you know, if we're Christians and we're faithful unto God, we have that same God helping us that helped them. That same God has the same power he did then. Perhaps he's not using it for, in some instances in the case of Paul, as directly as he did then, as he does now in our life. There is that particular difference. But he still has the same power that he had in the first century. And he's able to help us to do the things that he wants us to do. And you examine the lives of these individuals. You examine the life of Noah and Joshua and John the Baptist and Paul. And he didn't make one of those people do something against their will. Not one of them Did he make them do something that they first of all did not choose to do on their own? Paul accomplished great things, but he first of all chose that he was going to serve God. Joshua was able to influence two generations, but first of all he chose to serve the Lord. And we have that same decision to make now in our lives. Look at what these good people did. We can accomplish like things as these individuals did by that same power that is found in God and us choosing to do what is right. You know, the Bible gives encouragement to those that we would want to classify, that God would want to classify as being good people. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2, it says that a good man obtains favor from the Lord. A good man obtains favor from God. Favor from the Lord in which we serve. God looks down upon him in a right and in a good way because he has decided and he has chosen to follow that which is right. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, the good man out of the good treasure brings forth good things. Here is encouragement to that individual that has made the choice to follow the pathway of righteousness and that he has decided to be good, that out of his heart comes forth good things. Paul himself made the statement in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Paul accomplished a great many things, but he recognized that the only way he was able to accomplish that was through the strength that was provided for him through Jesus Christ. And again, we have that same strength that can be provided for us today, and we can accomplish whatever God has given us to accomplish. A good person is given strength to accomplish all the things that the Lord's will would have for that individual. And notice also what James says in the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 18 there, as he brings about the example of Elijah, a good man. He says, in the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him. And if any has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Here we find the effects of a good man and the righteousness that was within him, and how God listened to him, and what was the result of that. The Bible gives encouragement upon encouragement to that individual who has made the choice to follow righteousness and to follow the will of the Lord. But what about one evil person? We can see the effects of evil people as we look to several examples in both the Old and the New Testament. Achan is found in Joshua the 7th chapter, and we know what happened with Achan and his family. We know what happened to the children of Israel as a result of the sin that he had committed. The children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River. They had encompassed the city of Jericho for 7 days. They had finally taken the city that was by the will of God that was there. And God had told the children of Israel that within that city, everything that you take as a spoils of the war belongs unto me. But Achan decided when he saw several things that he was going to take it for himself. And he took it and he hid it in his tent. And as a result of that, the children of Israel were defeated at the Battle of Ai, a very small town, one that they should have taken with ease. But because there was sin in the camp and Achan brought that sin, the whole nation of Israel was affected as a result of that. Joshua went through the children of Israel and he found the one who had sinned. And as a result of the sin of Achan, not only Achan, but his whole family was destroyed. We see the effect of one evil man on the whole nation of the children of Israel that was there. Something happened that should not have happened. People lost their lives as a result of what Achan did. See the effect of one evil person on others around about them? You know, a lot of times people will cry out, well, whatever I do, it only affects me. That's not true. It affects others also. We look also to the example of the Old Testament and Ahab, the king, and how he affected the whole nation of the children of Israel by his introduction of idolatry into worship of the idols along with his wife Jezebel. And he affected not only himself and his wife and his family, He affected the whole nation of the city, of the children of Israel, not only for that generation, but for several generations to come. And those kings that followed him, for the most part, followed in his ways also. So evil, when we commit it, is not confined just to us. It also affects others. In the New Testament, we have examples of Judas, how that here was one man, because of his love for money, was willing to betray his Lord. We find Diotrephes over in 3 John verse 9, how that he plotted, we might say, against John, how that he kept people out of the church because he wanted to have the preeminence. He wanted to be the one that stood first in the congregation. Here was an individual that practiced evil, and he affected not only that congregation, but he affected others as well. The Bible has certain teachings concerning evil men. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. You know, that's true. It just takes one person to do something that is wrong, and he will destroy or she will destroy the good that others have been establishing or trying to set up for many years. You know, it just takes one member of this church to do something that's wrong, and it affects everybody that's here. It affects the reputation of this congregation. It affects many people because one person chooses to do wrong. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18, we find the Proverbs making the statement there, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. A wrathful man stirs up strife. Now, how is he going to stir up strife? Well, it's not within himself. He's going to affect others as a result of that. That strife is between others. He does affect those around about him. In the 16th chapter of Proverbs, verses 27 and 28, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. He's talking about that person that chooses to do evil and the result in that person's life. And it doesn't just affect him or her. When a whisperer separates the chiefest of friends or the best of friends, we're talking about other people becoming involved in that. It spreads. He has an effect. She has an effect because of the evil that they have in their life. In the 17th chapter, verses 19 and 20, we find the Proverbist again, he who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Here is what happens when that person chooses a pathway of wickedness, that they affect themselves and those that are around about them. In the New Testament, we find Paul giving the same admonition to a young evangelist by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. But know this, that in the last times, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then he goes on and names several things of these ungodly men and what they practice in their life. And they're not just simply touching their own lives, but they're touching the lives of others also with their wickedness. All these tell us of the things that evil men can do among others. And this evil, as we can see, like at the church at Corinth, was like leaven that it affected everybody else. What can one good person do? What can one evil person do? Well, the good is not confined to that person only, and the evil is not confined because it affects others. Now, what is to be done about the good person and about the evil person? Well, first of all, let's look at the good person. What is to be done with the good person? Well, I think foremost, as we have had heroes in our own lives and we've looked to others as examples in certain things to follow, what should be done with the good person is that they should be marked as examples before others in the congregation and even before the world, that here is a good pattern in which we can follow. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul makes the statement, brethren, Join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Sometimes it is so hard in this life to do those things that are right. But when we have examples of others before us who have faced the same difficulties and the same hardships, the same decisions that we face in life, and we see the good that they have done, it's an encouragement. We need to note those people. We need to mark them as patterns that we can follow. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I am of Christ." There is the ultimate pattern and example that we are to follow. But we have others who are good individuals, men and women, whom we can imitate. There are good examples for us to follow, I believe, in the church today. I believe in this very congregation here, there's some good people, men and women, that we could set up for ourselves as patterns in our life. I don't know, didn't know Pete that well. But as was mentioned in the prayer this morning, he had a lot of hardships, he had a lot of suffering in his life. But when I first got here, I could always count on it. He was going to be sitting right down there through all his pain and suffering. He was going to be here. That's a good example for us to follow. Maybe not everything in his life is perfect, but we're all humans and we're all going to do those things that are wrong. But we can see others and they can be good examples for us. Again, as I said in the very beginning, as I was a young child, I had heroes, Mickey Mantle and others. But as I've grown older, I have other heroes that I look up to. And these are not names of individuals, men and women, that are on the newspapers, that are on the television. But these are individuals that God knows. These are individuals that are preachers and teachers and elders, older couples, men and women, who have been faithful unto the Lord and could be a good example. And those are the individuals that need to be noted in our mind and perhaps even told to others. There's a good example that we can follow. Again, always remembering, though, that everybody is human and that our faith is not established in human beings, nor in a perfect pattern that they might set. There's only one perfect pattern to follow, and that is Jesus Christ. But we can mark others, we can note them, and say, there is a good example that we can follow. That's what should be done with good people, those who are following righteousness. Good men also, I believe, have a responsibility to teach others. And this is what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. He calls them faithful men there. He says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I believe faithful and good men ought to be given a responsibility and an opportunity to teach the will of God. And they can be examples for others. Here's what you need to do with those that are good. An encouragement should be given unto them. You know, a word of encouragement to an individual sometimes can go an awful long way. An awful long way. A word spoken at just the right time, coming from just the right person, might be able to buoy some people up, to lift them up when they are down. Good people should be given encouragement. Now, it is true that in our society today, and even among, it's unfortunate, even among some of those who are members of the church, that good people are ridiculed. People will say, "Well, who does he think he is?" And they're almost held up as being self-righteous, and they're made fun of. But good people need to be marked. Good people need to be those patterns and those examples that we can follow. And they need to be given encouragement at every opportunity. But what about the evil person? What should be done with that individual? Some who are evil need to be reproved. They need to be rebuked, so that they might be sound in the faith, and so that others also might be sound in the faith. Because it's true, the evil person is headed in the wrong direction. He's not headed toward God. He's headed away from God. He's not set himself on a course of eternal life, but he has set himself on a course of destruction, of disaster spiritually for himself. And he needs to be rebuked. She needs to be reproved because of the evil that they are doing. Titus 1 verses 10 and 11 says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. Sometimes evil people need to be confronted with the evil that they are teaching, or perhaps the false doctrines that they are espousing. Those individuals need then to be marked if they do not turn from that. They need to be identified and avoided. And this is what Paul makes mention of in Romans chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18 concerning certain individuals that would not follow the truth. He gives admonition to the saints there at Rome. He says, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Sometimes evil men need to be marked. They need to be identified. Others need to be warned of these people, and they need to be avoided. That's what needs to be done sometimes to evil individuals. Some people are not going to turn from the error of their way. Some people are going to continue in teaching false doctrine or in evil conduct in their life. And those are the ones that we do not hold up as examples. Only those that are good. Finally, we want to note what the righteous can do. Those of us who are striving to be pleasing in the sight of God and following that pathway of righteousness. First of all, we need to put our trust and our confidence in the Lord, because it is He who provides everything for us. Both physically and spiritually, God provides everything that we need in this life. Certainly is going to provide that in the life which is to come. He provides food and clothing and shelter. He provides spiritual protection. He gives us an armor to put on so that we do not have to fall prey to the temptations of Satan. And you know, this is far more important than any physical things He provides for us, are the spiritual things. And we need to put our trust and our confidence in Him. We need to recognize Him also as the one who is the ruler in our life and as the one who is the true source of strength that we can always turn to. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one that determines the things that we are to preach. He is the one that determines the things that we are to practice in our life. We may need to make the determination toward Him that truly none other is able to save us. And as Joshua did, we will serve no other but the God of heaven and Jesus Christ, His Son. The righteous can also determine to be steadfast. Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24 to the Ephesian elders, but none of these things moved me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. None of the things moved him. He was not going to be altered from the course that was before him. That which was set down by God. He was the one that was that had chosen that. And he was the one that had made the commitment to be steadfast all the way to the end. That's what the righteous can do. We can put our trust and confidence in the Lord. We can recognize Him as our ruler and our strength. And we can determine that regardless of what comes on in our life, we will not be moved. We will remain steadfast. Every Christian has a responsibility to stand for the truth and not to be moved. Not to be moved by circumstances nor conditions in their lives. And not to be moved by the influence and the effect of evil men as they confront them in their lives. We have an obligation to take a stand at all times for the truth that is found in the Word of God, for the truth that is the Word of God. What is it then that one person can do? I think we can simply see and say that that individual can accomplish anything God wants him to accomplish. God knows what we're able to do. He's not going to give us something to do that we're not able to do. But whatever He has set before us, we can do it. And with the strength that He provides, we need to do it. We can overcome any hindrance And we can overcome the influence of evil individuals. That's what the good person can do. The evil person can accomplish things too. And let us not think to ourselves that if I do evil, it's only going to affect me. That's not true. It affects a lot of people around about you. Let us also not think that if I do good, nobody's going to know about it. If nobody knows about it, at least God does. And if you continue to do good, people are going to know. People are going to see your influence. And you'll have an effect upon them for good in your life. And that's what we should strive to do as Christians. To affect others for good. So that if we cannot gain them by the words that we speak, perhaps we might gain an audience with them to tell them about the salvation of their soul simply because of what they see in our lives and how we live. If you were to evaluate your stand today before God, where would it be? Would you be on the side of good or would you be on the side of evil? Would you take a stand for the Lord or against Him? Where would you stand today? How would you affect and how are you affecting others in your life? As a Christian, it better be for good. Because if it's not, you're not pleasing to God. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, why not obey Him? The song has been selected that we're going to sing in just a moment. Why have you put off obedience unto the Lord and Savior? The one who died for you. The one who was willing to leave heaven, come and live in the form of a man, face temptations as we do, yet was without sin, died on that cross of Calvary, was raised again on the third day by the power of God. Why would you want all that to be of none effect in your life? God has made a great sacrifice. You need also to sacrifice in your life for Him. That is the only hope of salvation that you have. If you have not obeyed the Lord, why not? You have an opportunity this morning. As I said, the song has been selected. The words are going to be encouragement to you to do what is right. If you're outside of the fold of safety, have the faith that is needed. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of those sins. And in that baptism, you wash away the sins that you have committed that separate you from God. And you're part of the family of God then. That's all you have to do. God's not calling upon you to slay dragons and climb mountains. What He's asking you to do is being humble and submit unto His will. And it's not hard. It's not difficult at all. If you're here, you're subject to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?